Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I hope everybody's having a great day. I am. More importantly, we are the only team, the only show. We are the only voice on the radio or in any medium that you'll find that actually has not just a tangible solution, a constitutional solution in getting the federal government into compliance. There's no argument about this. As a matter of fact, it comes down to this, that if there's any evidence that proves that the Constitution was not a contract, that it was not a hard codified contract where the states had the ultimate say on what was going to happen, changes, so forth, and that they had superiority or supremacy over all things not delegated, that means that they have the authority over all the things that the federal government is doing that is not delegated to the federal government. So clearly, the states have the authority and power to force the federal government into relinquishing these powers. Now, we'll get into that. We've been talking about that as well. And I will tell you that Section 3 of the 14th Amendment is a big player on that. But, and I'll get into that in just a minute. But you have to know that this show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. The phone number to call in is 215-867-8255 or 215-TOP-TALK. I am going, as I promised, I am going to catch up on the news, or what I refer to it as marketing, because as you start seeing what's going on and why this crap is happening, the only way we're going to stop it is by taking back control of our self-government system. There's a lot of bad players that are involved in moving us in a direction that we have no business moving into. So with that, let me kind of just really do my quick groveling. As you know, I do have a GoFundMe campaign on GoFundMe. It's Reclaiming the Republic. The easy way to find it would be go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. Just click on the link and it'll take you there. And then you'll have the privilege and opportunity to, you know, receive the blessings of supporting us. We're not looking for any salaries. We're not looking for any type of direct compensation, especially me. What I'm looking for is those who want to help and assist our costs in travel, to be able to get to these states to help them understand the true powers that they possess, the authority that is vested in them as the stakeholders of the Constitution. So I would go down this path of saying, if you want to financially help us, we humbly and gratefully accept. If you don't have the money, but you do want to get involved, send me an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And that way I can help you utilize some resources such as your phone and computer, because most people have those. And you will find that you have a lot of opportunities in leading one in your county as well as your state. So with that, I'm trying to do better at remembering to thank you for tuning in, and more importantly, thanking you for telling others to tune in. There is, like I said, there is no other show that's actually talking about the elephant in the room or the elephant in our life, and that is federal tyranny. One of the things I always do as well, because we're talking about federal tyranny, is I look in the news to say, hey, has the heavens parted and has the federal government decided to get rid of or no longer commit federal tyranny in any of their roles, responsibilities, and powers? And to be clear, if you don't know what tyranny means, it's arbitrary rule. In other words, it's taking upon themselves rules and powers that they have not been delegated. That's what tyranny is. And that's why I say there is a plethora of tyranny coming from Mordor on the Potomac, or what people like to refer to as Washington, D.C. So let me kind of leap in, because like I said, we've got a lot of marketing or news to go through. But before we do, and I kind of mentioned this yesterday, and this is the story that's not going to go away because it's all about the 2020 campaign. You realize that this one border, the border wall, is a huge campaign promise and a campaign issue that Trump is going to, I think he's going to leverage this probably for the next 2 years. And I think that he is, and I think he's right. I honestly believe that more people say nobody should be able to have unfettered access to our culture, our society. There needs to be checks in place. It's just like every single person I know has locks on their doors, they have locks on their cars, and they just don't leave their prized possessions, or I should say these assets, open and accessible to anybody and everybody. Nobody does that. And as a matter of fact, if you start looking at the elitist, I mean, they have, you know, fences and walls and all sorts of security around their homes. Why? Because they do not want anybody to just not even have unfettered access to their door, but they want to have, you know, they want to maintain people well outside and away from their door. They want to keep you as far as they possibly can away from them. Isn't that interesting? That is the paradox, or it is truly pointing to their hypocrisy, because they want you to have open borders, but they're on their property, they're going to have extra borders. So anyway, let me get into what I was talking about with Section 3 and the 14th Amendment. As you know, Section 3, and I'll just paraphrase real quick, it is if you have been a public servant, regardless of what level, federal or state, if you've been a public servant and took an oath, because all public servants are supposed to take an oath, except for the federal court systems. For some reason, federal judges are not following the Constitution, because it clearly says in the Constitution that they're supposed to take an oath to support the Constitution. I challenge you to go read what a federal judge oath is, and it has no statement that they're supporting the Constitution. And how they're getting away with violating the Constitution is beyond me. But anyway, let me kind of dive forward here into this whole application of Section 3. So if you have had an oath as a public servant, except for the federal judges, then then you will find that while you are serving, you are held to the moral responsibility of supporting the Constitution. This whole section of the 14th Amendment was all about punishing people who commit moral perjury. So you take this oath to support the Constitution, and if you directly give are part of a rebellion or rebellious behavior and or give aid and comfort to the enemies of the Constitution, then you should be banned from public service because you have proven unworthy and proven that you cannot be taken by that moral oath that you've had to take in supporting the Constitution. So here we have now these lawsuits that are coming forward, and some of these, like open border Democrats, some of these people are actually politicians and so forth. If any of these people come forward and they want to do this, I'm telling you, if Trump just said, you know what, we're going to start enforcing this because we just consider anybody that is supporting the violation of the Constitution as an enemy. I have a no-nonsense view on this, folks. If you are trying to violate the Constitution, such as bypassing, demanding access, I mean, we have immigration laws. If you want to violate our immigration laws, then you're an enemy of the Constitution. And anybody that is supporting you, such as, you know, these Democrat lawmakers who are creating sanctuary cities, sanctuary states, and so forth, they should be banned from public service. Trump could do a lot of cleanup if he literally started enforcing that one section. I challenge anybody to prove me wrong. I'd love to see it because I haven't gone through every single page, but there is no hint whatsoever that this section is referring to the standards of treason. This section is literally standing to the moral obligation of obtaining and stating and maintaining that oath position, that you have to support the Constitution. And as people realize, wow, that's probably over 3/4 of Congress would have to go, yes, that's right. If they are voting for things that are unconstitutional, then bye, you no more for you. You do not get to be a public servant anymore. You've now made yourself irrelevant amongst the newsmakers in the world. And wouldn't that be great to see Pelosi just actually go away because she can't be a public servant anymore? I know that the mainstream media would probably, you know, try to find some way of resurrecting this this carcass of a political servant, or I should say public servant, and a political hack. But bottom line is, once you've been removed from service and once you can no longer be a public servant, then what are you going to do with yourself? I don't know. She probably knows how to wash dishes, or, you know, I'm sure she has some other talents. Surely she could become productive somehow to society for once and for all, right? I mean, she hasn't been productive. She's actually been a dredge on society. And lots of all of these secular progressives and even rhinos have been a dredge on our society. And so, as you can tell, one of my favorite songs is playing, but it's not my favorite because it gives me a break. It's my favorite because of what it means, and most people don't know what the fanfare for the common man is. So maybe I'll give you a little backstory on this, and we'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And I was just talking about the fanfare for the common man. I'm not sure how many of you, I've told this story before. I've given you this information, but most people don't know who Henry A. Wallace was, but Henry A. Wallace was one of the few vice presidents that FDR had. And Henry A. Wallace went to Aaron Copland, the creator, the author of the song Fanfare for a Common Man, And what he wanted to do was he wanted to have a majestic piece of music to help awaken the common man in America. Now, you got to understand, he was a communist. Just like Dewey, a lot of the people that were associated to FDR's administration were communists, and they wanted to see America get involved in a world war that would have put us on a path of, clearly, a path of socialism. And it did. It really did put us on, because what some of the things that came out of World War II was the HUE, Health and Education Welfare Department, unconstitutionally founded, but they were creating the mechanisms for socialism, and which is the fast track or the escalator to communism. So anyway, Henry A. Wallace actually asked Copeland to write this, and he had a very famous speech that was delivered as we were entering into World War II, and that speech was literally the Century of the Common Man. Now, why am I using this song? One, it is a very majestic song, but I want to use the song that they actually planned on trying to use as a song to help move us into socialism as awakening of the individual man, all of us, men, women, and patriots, in standing up for our individual liberty and our individual sovereignty, that we, the people, can assert our power because we are the fountain of political power. All we have to do is work together in making a very succinct and concise message to our politicians that we want liberty. Pretty simple, isn't it? And so I want to use the song that they tried to use in sealing our fate and trying to use that exact same song in awakening us and breaking from that fate, because we are still on that path for that global communist order, whatever you want to call it. So anyway, as I was saying, I really have a no-nonsense view on the Constitution. Anybody that has a doctrine and or ideology that is the antithesis of individual liberty and individual sovereignty, and there are religions out there, such as Islam, that does not allow and does not promote the openness of all types of religions. As a matter of fact, the jihad is a very specific thing, and it just keeps happening everywhere. And so people that are aligned with that type of ideology, whether it's a communist or whatever, anybody that wants to take away your liberty, they should not be public servants. Now, they may be good craftsmen, they may be good, you know, bakers, they may contribute to society in all sorts of ways, but they should not be a public servant, because they are going to do things, because that's what they've been doing. All of these secular progressives have been doing things that have been violations of the Constitution, and ergo, they're enemies of the Constitution. Harry Reid was an enemy to the Constitution. I mean, all of these folks. So I don't want to belabor the point. The whole point is that we need to start really using some of the tools that the Constitution has given us to enforce, you know, our standards of that oath. We should have standards. And as a matter of fact, the oath I like the best so far is the Wyoming oath, that you not only swear an oath to support the Constitution, you support, defend, and obey the Constitution. I love that. There you go. I mean, I think that hits the nail on the head. So anyway, yesterday I left off talking about private property that was seized for building the wall. How is that private property? I mean, the question I was asking is, why was any land abutting to a foreign border, an international border, sold or even available to be sold to a private party or even a business? That should have been the state and federal government land. I mean, it's not a private border. It is a national border and a state border. Now, I can understand in between states that, you know, you can buy property. I know some people that have property that actually bridges or, sits on two different states. And so they have to pay property tax to two different states. But my point is that an international border should not have a private owner. I mean, that would be just like letting El Chapo buy a nice little slice along the border so that he could do whatever he wants, right? No, that is government property, and that should never have been put into the hands of a private individual. I mean, I don't understand, like I was saying yesterday, I have no idea why this is even a battle. But I will tell you this, that those who are public servants that are pursuing this unconstitutional stand in demanding that we just allow people, unfettered access, that's giving aid and comfort to the enemy, period. I would also like to think of, anybody that's trying to buy and think you got away with actually owning an international boundary. It's kind of tantamount to, you bought the Brooklyn Bridge and you can cross over it whenever you want, but don't try to put it in your backyard, right? Only a fool believes that they actually own property that is a part of an international border, period. And those fools are now spending a lot of money in court. And I think the ACLU and a lot of other evil organizations are involved in trying to help them. Now, I know this has been news and it's not going anywhere. Unfortunately, we're not seeing enough. And I talked to people, and that's what kind of got me on the tangent yesterday. Oh, Trump's on top of this. You watch. He's built the best mousetrap, and he's going to trap all these guys. And I'm going, okay, well, the perp walk should have started over 2 years ago with Hillary and a lot of other people. But anyway, the FBI and the DOJ has literally, I think we've been able to disclose that they've attempted a coup and they were trying to use the 25th Amendment. And I'll read that amendment, but I just want to say this. The former FBI director, Andrew McCabe, told Scott Pelley on 60 Minutes that Attorney General Rod Rosenstein proposed invoking the 25th Amendment to oust President Trump in 2017. And that Rosenstein was counting potential supporting votes of the cabinet members. In other words, he was actively doing this. I've been telling you there's a deep state. And you know that there is, but it goes a lot deeper and there's a lot more players in it than anybody wants to admit. Now, so I've also heard that Alan Dershowitz had said that the 25th Amendment is for emergencies when the president is unable to perform his duties and is not meant to circumvent the impeachment process. Well, okay, so what is the 25th Amendment? And I believe it's this part right here. So the 25th Amendment, in case of removal of the president because of death or resignation, that's the first clause or first section. The second section is whenever there is a vacancy in the office. Well, that doesn't apply. Number three, whenever the president transmits to the president pro tempore of the Senate, vice president, and the speaker of the House of Representatives, which would be Nancy Pelosi, in his written declaration that he is unable to discharge the powers and duties because, like FDR should have done, then they would have then allowed the vice president to then step in and serve. Or number four, whenever the vice president and a majority, and this is what they were trying to do, whenever the vice president and a majority of either the principal officers of the executive department or of such other body as Congress may by law provide transmits to the president pro tempore of the Senate and the Speaker of the House of Representatives their written declaration that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office, okay? Then the vice president shall immediately assume the powers. Well, I just want you to understand that the cabinet, when President Trump came in, that was not his cabinet. That was Obama's cabinet. And I have a problem with the fact that there is this kind of language that allows a former president's cabinet to actually try to utilize this clause in the 25th Amendment. I don't believe that this should stand. I think that this needs to be rescinded. And this also speaks to the importance of nullifying that there are no real cabinet leaders. The cabinets have these missions and so forth. But until the president has gotten his secretaries or his executives of these unconstitutional cabinets in place, because remember, the majority of all these executive branches, or I should say executive departments, are all unconstitutional. Education, energy, so forth and so on. There is no amendment that has granted those powers to the federal government. So anyway, I'm just here to tell you that that was a very maniacal play, and you can't tell me that that was not an ideological alignment. It just proves that you cannot take the ideology out of people, that we have to start acknowledging, and I've been saying this for a year, that we need to make sure that in every government, like DMV or what have you, that we have one of each of the ideological wiring in these positions so we have a balance and whistleblowers. We'll be right back after this, folks. Please stay tuned. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
I can't imagine that you are not in the mood for some good news. So I will tell you that there is more and more organization and wind in the sails for Republic Review moving in Wyoming, as well as we're getting traction in Idaho and Montana, and I'm hoping, because I've actually working with some leaders in South Dakota, so we may have, by the end of this year, one state leading and three states, if not five, very close behind. Now, so here's the thing I wanted to share with you, because I know this is really, really going to get the goats, and I should say not the goats, get the goad of those who are out trying to do the Article 5 convention. I'll just say this, that there are those who I deal with that are, you know, passionate, good patriots that are supporting the Article 5 convention because their paradigm isn't beyond, you know, those few words of the Constitution. And then when all of a sudden they realize that the Constitution is far more than just, you know, these words, it is actually the ratification debates in defining and clarifying. So it kind of frees their mind to go, wow, okay, so the jurisdiction over marriage is not the Supreme Court, it's the states. Wow. Jurisdiction over health care and abortion, that's the states as well, because if it's not listed in the Constitution, then it's reserved to the states. And as I've provided you several times, the Marshall statements, Iredell, Madison, Nicholas, I mean, there's a whole bunch, Wilson, there's just a whole bunch of framers during the ratification debates in the different states that clearly stated that if it is not an enumerated power, the federal government has no jurisdiction over it. So it's very clear the constitutional jurisdiction over all things not delegated is left to the states. You don't have to write that down. As a matter of fact, as Nicholas talked about property, do I have to resurvey the properties or my rights that I am retaining if I only give you these? No, I've already listed what I give you. It is implied that everything else is kept. It's pretty clear. Anyway, so as I talk to some of these Convention of States folks, some of them are getting it, boom, and they become really quickly advocates and I'll just say crusaders, constitutional crusaders in trying to support the enforcement of the Constitution. Now, I do run into some that are just like, they can't think out of the box. They, you know, because the funny thing is, it's that they've been attuned this way because of the hostility that they get from the John Birches and so forth. And so they just look at an adversarial relationship and hear this organization is moving forward and we're not looking for an adversarial relationship. What we're actually looking for is we're kind of the middle ground. We're actually forcing enforcement of the Constitution. We don't care about any of these amendments that they're trying to push because those are self-serving amendments. One way or another, it's about either somebody getting their name associated as the author, like John Bingham, to the 14th Amendment or so forth. And to me, that right there is not, you know, in the likeness or in the similitude, I'll use that term, in the similitude of what the framers did. Madison had no desire other than to sign the Constitution and to sign the ratification for Virginia. I mean, that was a perfunctory or a formal process that he had to do. However, it was not their desire to be, you know, immortalized and to have monuments and so forth. And there's no doubt in my mind that there's some of these folks that want to have a monument in their honor somewhere in D.C., their hometown, and so forth. And I'm going, you know, there's way too many people out there, folks, that are that self-serving. I think it's important. You know, you have to be self-serving to be successful, to put food on the table and so forth. But, you know, you get to a point where you want to, you know, make either a god or a demigod or some type of, you know, higher than life status of yourself. Come on, get over yourself, right? So anyway, I'm finding it interesting that we're having these engagements and people are actually starting to see, and they're starting to come out of the woodwork when they're realizing, oh my goodness, you know, I may not be able to get what I'm trying to get out of this thing that I'm heavily invested in. And, you know, to be honest with you, my friends, I really don't care. I don't care about what people want. I just care that we preserve our Constitution and our individual liberty for our children. This is not about you. It's not about me. It's about all of us and them, our posterity, okay? So let's get the mind model right, and let me move on. In another Orwellian move in California, if you haven't heard, Los Angeles is requiring companies to disclose any form of tie or affiliation with the NRA. Now, why do you suppose this is? I honestly think that, you know, they're trying to help bolster, because what ends up happening is if you tell people that this, you know, there's a record out there that is inappropriate for kids to listen to, and you demand that it gets banned, what you've just done is you have guaranteed a hit on the sales of that record, because kids are going to go out and buy it. And as a matter of fact, it's a great marketing ploy that people have tried before, and it actually works. But in this context with the NRA, why is it that they're trying to actually go after companies that supposedly have these affiliations? Because they consider the NRA a threat? I don't know. And as a matter of fact, I've been on record to say I think some of these conservative organizations, like the aforementioned, you know, longtime conservative group, as well as the NRA, I believe they've been compromised. And there's a term for it that has been popping up more and more. It's called controlled opposition. In other words, they control the opposition, but the opposition isn't to win. The opposition is to slowly create resistance, but slowly allow progress to push them back. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so if you notice, as I've kind of harped on, you know, one organization and now this NRA thing, it just seems like the way the NRA handled these gun law, unconstitutional gun laws in Washington State and California, and I'm going to talk about it hopefully today, that we will find that the NRA is just playing this resistance level. It is not really championing the Constitution. I spoke to an NRA person prior to the election that was a state representative that was supposedly working the resistance. And I asked them, why are you not playing on the Constitution? Why aren't you standing on the Constitution and using the 14th Amendment as well as the Second Amendment as well as all these other constitutional documents in supporting this and fighting this bill that's coming through to basically make it harder and going after people for having guns? And the guy goes, well, this was the chosen path. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. And with those types of things that I'm finding, it makes it easier and easier for me to believe that these organizations have been compromised. So don't, why would you support a compromised organization? Why wouldn't you support an organization that's designed to win, to succeed? And so one of the things I was also talking about, and I'm still on this aside or on this tangent. There are a lot of people that say, well, you know what? What's going to keep this Republic Review from getting compromised? Because it's not about a person. It is a process. It's a very well-defined process. An audit is an audit. It's either been done properly or it's not been done properly. You can't compromise an audit. You might be able to kill people and do a bunch of cover-up and so forth, but you can't compromise an audit. It was either proven or not proven. And I saw this gentleman that I was working with, he was telling me that, you know, there's still ways that you could get compromised. And I go, absolutely not. There's no way. As long as we're just performing the audit and enforcing the outcome of the audit, that's no way it can be compromised. And then he kind of said, well, you know, I see your point. And it sounds to me like people will, you know, you may have some people that'll try to infiltrate, but it's not like they're going to get anywhere. And as a matter of fact, they'll probably be outed for what they're doing. Yes, right. Correct. And so those people will be actually defined in that process as they get outed for trying to thwart or trying to, you know, somehow undermine an audit process. And maybe they should be marked and or banned from public service. We really need to start using some of these weapons that we have. But let me move on. I want to give you two contrasting marketing stories, and this is kind of an indictment of our education system. And first up, it's an 11-year-old who gets arrested for not reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. Are you kidding? What kind of draconian society are we living in? This is not a liberty-loving teacher. Apparently, there was this altercation and so forth, but obviously this teacher does not understand the concepts of the Constitution, and it just goes to the mind model of the teachers, that there is only one way to do this. And even though people may think that that was a conservative or what have you, whoever literally tries to force somebody into doing something is not a liberty-minded person. They're a subjugationist. They're trying to enslave or force you to do something. And this person is far more aligned. They may think they're conservative, but they're far more aligned with communism and that ideology. And they will not survive in our constitutional republic moving forward, because there's no room for that type of behavior. Anyway, we're at a break. We'll be right back, and I'll give you the flip side of these contrasting stories. Be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. The show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. Now, so second story up, or I should say the next story, and this is far more horrific, but it has something to do with our education system again. And in this story, I don't know how you can title or call these young men or boys, but there were three teens, Wilmer Ramos, Philip Worrell, and Niall Campbell, 14, 14, and 14, and there was a 12-year-old male as well charged, but he's being charged as a minor, but these 14-year-olds are being charged as adults, and they were charged with the rape of a 19-year-old woman who had exited a bus at about 10 p.m. on February 6th. These teen boys allegedly approached the woman at gunpoint, forced her into the backyard, and the attack begun until it was interrupted by neighbors who heard the noise. Thank God that they were in a urban area where, you know, they weren't way out in the middle of nowhere. Bottom line is the hoodlums, the if you want to call them animals, the creatures, whatever, the education system is failing us and parenting is failing us because parents are not being held accountable. Remember, liberty, as I tell you, is dependent upon three aspects or three fundamental things. One is free agency, responsibility, and accountability. So that when somebody exercises their free agency, they must be held accountable and they are responsible for their behavior, which means that a parent has to be responsible for their behavior. Here's the real problem, though, and if you're not aware of this, this is happening. This isn't just hyperbole. States and the federal government are working and encroaching more and more upon parents' rights, roles, and responsibilities in claiming that a parent cannot inflict any type of counter training, therapy, or what have you, if all of a sudden they find out that their child is homosexual, or they find out their child wants to be identified as a car fender or some trans fender, if you understand what I'm saying. And so the whole point is that they have put their fixed their sights on your children. Your children have been under attack in the education system and by the government. They know that your children are the useful idiots that they need to perform very specific feats and functions in these upcoming elections in 2022. Hopefully, 2020, and God forbid that happen, and 2024. I will tell you, we are losing time with things like this happening, with the shootings and everything, and these kids march for lives. And if you start looking at the outcome of elections, you should be very, very aware and scared of the fact that the 2018 election was truly a blue wave. They picked up hundreds of seats in the state legislatures, not just in Congress. If you think we're going to turn Congress red in 2020, you had better get very hot in working, because most people think that, okay, because Trump needs to stop the voter fraud, for sure. He needs to stop the voter fraud. But there's nothing that's going to stop this wave of idiots that are coming out of our indoctrination system. And so that's why, you know, giving you these types of stories is really important. We have lost control of our education system, and the only way to take it back is for the states to assert their authority in the audit process to point out that the federal government has no constitutional jurisdiction or business meddling in education. So here's the question, because I haven't asked it all day, and I should have been asking it every 5 minutes or so. What's it going to take? What will it take? How many more outbursts of shootings, and how many more plunges towards the abyss of darkness do we have to keep continuing before we stand up and say, enough's enough? You should be doing only the things that we've charged you with, federal government. And states, you need to start doing these things, because you're closer to us and we're going to hold you more accountable. It's impossible to hold DC accountable on the domestic issues. That's why the states were given all of these powers over the domestic matters, that they did not create a general constitution. And so I'm hoping that these people I've been engaging with have been listening to this show so that they can understand that the states have the inherent authority over things not delegated. That was clearly defined in the ratification debates by Madison, Nicholas, and I've listed these people just earlier today. The point is that we need your help. And what we need is to help get this message out. Like I said, I really appreciate that you're growing this message and getting more and more people to tune in and listen. As I say, forgive me, I am not a perfect, and or do I want to be the epitome of a conservative entertainer. I am literally a leader trying to lead leaders in doing what we need to do. People have asked me, well, why don't you run for office? Why don't you become a state legislator? Because then I can't lead in the aspects that I need to. I need to be able to work with other people in showing them how to lead so that they can become the Thomas Jeffersons of tomorrow. We need somebody out there to doing that. And so that's my calling. That's my job. And I realize that. And there's no glory in this for me, because it is truly, you know, these legislators that are going to be standing up that will deserve the glory. This isn't about glory. I already told you this. This is all about preserving liberty for all individuals and preserving sovereignty for all individuals within this constitutional republic. Okay? That's what it's all about. So we need your help. Oh, by the way, here's another marketing. If you don't think that the militarized police state is getting any better, if you didn't hear, there was a no-knock raid in Houston. And, oh, by the way, it seems like the Houston Police Department senior officer, Gerald Goenez, I believe that's how you pronounce it. You know, I'm bad with names. He's 54. He is accused of lying about a tip from an informant indicating that a couple, Dennis Tuttle and Ragonda Nichols, were dealing drugs and had a large amount of heroin and weapons in their home. And so, I was reading an article, and forgive me for taking this aside, but I was reading this article where there's this little caption underneath it on the side. You know, you see Biden's picture, and it said, ex-Vice President Biden speaking at, I think it was the University of Pennsylvania. Yeah, that's right. It was today. And I go, wow, that sounds so good. Doesn't that sound great? Why would we want to change that? He should always be remembered as ex-Vice President Biden. I mean, that X sounds so good, doesn't it? And so let me get back onto, you know, this bad story. So apparently, a couple of weeks ago, there was a warrant raid conducted. It was a no-knock raid, and it was on the Tuttles, and the police shot the couple dead when they tried to defend themselves. Now, four Houston police officers were also shot. And confidential informants have stepped forward saying, hey, we didn't give that information to that Officer Goenez. And so there's a real problem. And the question is, why was this? Was this like an Arkanside? Because there have been cases where people have been killed over things like this that, you know, you're going, and then you find out that these people were involved in something else that might have exposed somebody. And I'm going, this almost sounds like a planned hit. But, you know, it's easy to jump into those things, but when you have such tyranny and such bad behavior by so many people, it's just easy to start letting your imagination run wild. But the real question I have is, why is it that we're allowing our police departments to become so militarized? And in addition, why are we giving them their ability to do these types of were the Tuttles at some risk of, you know, they had a Learjet in front of the house that they could just quickly get into and go away? I mean, why do a no-knock raid? I don't understand this. I mean, if you could put somebody under surveillance and then wait for them to come out and then just arrest them on the spot and then do your search warrant. Why are we putting these people, unless you really want to have a very hostile, because in the middle of the night, when somebody knocks down your door, you have no idea in the dark that these people could be yelling police, but they could be bad guys. You don't know. You don't even have a piece of paper in your hand reading that a judge has signed this. Are you kidding? We need to stand up to militarized police. I think that, you know, we got to go after criminals. I'm the first one that says, let's lock them away. As a matter of fact, I believe that we should outsource our penal system and start sending these people down to Central America or over to Korea, somewhere out of here. And if they want to have appeals, they can do it all virtually. If they want to have visitors, you know, you can, you know, use Skype and, you know, give them a little bit of time with family or what have you via Skype. The way we manage our penal system is way too expensive. These folks do not deserve that kind of elitist treatment. You know, this should be punishment and it should be humane. So, you know, if they're being fed fish heads and rice, then, you know, at least they're eating, right? They're not like the people, they're victims who are just turning, you know, enriching soil 6 feet under. Anyway, I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and I need your help. And we're going to get into SOGI laws tomorrow. So God bless, and we'll be back.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.